Can you do me a favor? Tonight, when I say three, I want you to shout what city you live in. Whether it's Joplin, Carl Junction, Webb City, Miami, Tulsa, wherever it is. When I get to three, just shout out together your city you live in. One, two, three. Yeah, lots of cities, right? All right, let's do this. On the count of three, let's shout out our church name. Whatever church you go to, just shout it out. Ready? One, two, three. You guys are making no sense. I can't hear you. How about on the count of three, we all shout out who our Savior is. His name is what? On the count of three, tell me who is your daddy. One, two, three. See, there's something that unifies us when we come in the spirit of Jesus. Are you following me there? See, there's something that unifies us. There's a unified voice and spirit when we focus upon Jesus. And tonight, that's what we're doing. We're saying, Jesus, we want Jesus to be released upon this region in a higher level. In our universities, in our schools, in our sport places, in our hospitals, in our neighborhoods. We're saying we want Jesus to be lifted up and glorified. We don't want to lift up any one church or any one person, but we're here to glorify and lift up the name Jesus. So right now, join me. Father, right now, Father, we lift up your name, Jesus. We pray that the Spirit of Jesus be released upon this region in a greater way. Father, this Jesus, your spirit of salvation, your spirit of restoration, your spirit of healing, your spirit of encouragement, your spirit of peace, your spirit, Father, of healing, be released across this region tonight. Lord, I believe that every great revival has started with young hearts, Lord, with young adults, with young people who are hungry for something new. And they say, our generation wants to go deeper. And God, I pray in this region, Lord, in this region, if something would happen, Lord, where you have young adults crying out, young people crying out, those young in spirit crying out, God, we want more. May the Spirit of Jesus be released. Lord, released in churches throughout the area, in neighborhoods, in workplaces, in universities, in schools. God, we pray and release the Spirit of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we believe it, God. We believe it now. Put your hands together. Begin to give him a shout of praise. Come on. Give him a shout. Come on. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. I just dare you. Just take a minute and pray. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we lift up your name. For it is great and greatly to be praised. We magnify you. Now, if you can just do this, simply open up your palms like this and say, God, now I prepare my heart. My heart is open to receive your word. Come on, declare, say, my heart is open to receive your word. My mind is alert and ready to receive. May I receive a word that will change my life tonight. Father, we don't want to leave here the same. But we're changed in Jesus' name. And we say together, amen. I want you to go ahead and be seated very reverently as you go back to your seats. Man, what a powerful time of worship. Man, thank you, Terrence, and thank you, Gap Band, and all those for Anthem Music from Oasis. Man, we're glad you guys are here. What an awesome, awesome time of worship and gathering tonight. Man, we are so thankful that you are here, as we said earlier, and we're going to close out with a time of message here. Pastor TJ is going to come in just a second and bring a word to us. But first of all, before we introduce him, I want to make sure that we love Pastor TJ and Pastor Courtney and their leadership for the gathering and what they bring and bringing so many people, and so many people are here today. But I can tell you, without these next two families, there would be no Pastor TJ and no Pastor Courtney, because their parents are here tonight. And so I want you to welcome them. They're from Tulsa, both set of parents. It's good to have the Cummings family, Courtney's parents with us, the Cummings family, and Pastor Ted and Gloria. Good to have you guys and your family. And without them, there would be no Pastor TJ and Courtney, right? So, amen. Someone felt anointed on that one right there. All right. Well, tonight, I am excited to hear. We all sense in this room, we know that God's hand is upon Pastor TJ and Courtney, and I love what God is doing in his life, to see him grow over the last few years as he shares the word of the Lord today. And I am looking forward to it. I'm hungry to receive what he has to share with us, to challenge us.
I count it an honor to be his pastor, and I'm so proud of him and Pastor Courtney and all the leadership at Gap. But I'm really just, our hearts are connected, and I love them very, very much. And I'm very, very proud of some of our spiritual sons here at the church. We have many spiritual sons and daughters here, and we're loving what God's doing in their life. We're glad to see them just growing up before the Lord, before us, and God's using them, and we're behind them 100% and believe in them. Put your hands together one more time to welcome Pastor TJ as he comes tonight to bring us the word. If you love Jesus, let me hear you make some noise in this place tonight.
Amen. And so I can get my computer started. Let's do that one more time. If you love Jesus, let's make some noise in this place tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, I am so excited. This vision of the gathering has been a lot of work, a lot of preparation, spirit-led, and a few people that I know they know my heart, and I didn't forget about them at all, but I'll never forget. We sat down together at, I can't remember whose house it was, may have been the Garcia's house, and we said, hey, you know, let's get a Transformation Church down and let's have service. We were like, when at that time we were having service in the back, and we said, well, they bring like 40, 50 people, then we won't be able to fit back there. So we need to move it in the main sanctuary. So we're like, okay, cool. Well, then let's invite all of our Destiny Church people to come. We were like, okay, cool. And then we're like, well, how about we just invite more churches around the area to come? We were like, okay, cool. And God blessed this place to be packed, standing room only, the very first time we did it. And it is all because, me and my wife may get the quote unquote credit or whatever, but it says you are only as strong as your team. Amen. So all of my Gap staff people, I know the lights are down. Y'all can leave them down. But will y'all stand up and will y'all give it up for our Gap 412 staff? Come on, let's give it up for them. They did a lot of work. I love each and every one of y'all. Thank y'all so much. Thank you. Well, if you're ready for the word, say yeah. Yeah. Last night, Pastor Michael Todd gave us an amazing, amazing word. How many of y'all enjoyed his word last night? The God of awkward transitions. And I know that sat so, so well with so many people, because there was a lot of people who either came to me after the service or messaged me and said, man, that message really, really changed my life. And it kind of fits right into what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about the topic, can't stop, won't stop. Everybody say, can't stop, won't stop. So this life that we live is a constant cycle. It's up and down. It's a lot of hills and valleys. Sometimes you're going fast. Sometimes you're going slow. Sometimes you're going in forward. Sometimes you're going in reverse. Sometimes you're going right, left. And it's a constant cycle. Sometimes you run into awkward transitions. And sometimes we're in a very, very great season of our lives, or great seasons of our lives. Everything is great. You know, everything's falling into place. You know, you're walking around, you got your girlfriend's hands, you're skipping around like, ooh, life is great. Like doing all this crazy stuff, and everything's great. But then there are some times that life is not so great. Sometimes we're in a bad seasons of our lives, and you know, it's just like we seem like we can't get out of the rut. It seems like every time we try to do something, we get knocked back down. And these bad seasons sometimes are caused by several different things. It can be caused by friends. It can be caused by loved ones. It can be caused by your job, or it can be caused by your health, or many different things that you go through in your life. And you just feel like, man, I cannot get past it. Or sometimes we get unexpected things thrown our way. Has anybody ever had anything unexpected in your life happen? And you're just like, man, I had no idea that this would happen in my life. And I know that everything that we go through is so valid. It is valid for you to feel a certain way. It is valid for you to sometimes be low in the dumps. It is valid for you to be heartbroken and crushed. But guess what? You cannot stay there. You must get up and keep going. You must get up and keep going. Our generation, man, Pastor Mike talked about this last night. My generation cracks us up. He said it so good last night, man. One person hurts your feelings, you get your phone out. Everybody just sucks. Life is terrible. And it's just like, man, one person hurt you. But we, our generation, we do that so much and we don't know how to pick ourselves up and keep going. That's why I'm so thankful for the generation that's come before us, because they knew that even when they knocked down, life's had different things have happened in the society, the economy shut down and all that good stuff. But guess what? They kept going. My parents can attest to that. I got to see a lot of the different things that they went through. And they could have easily just said, you know what? I'm done with this God thing. I'm done with this church thing. I'm done with everything. But you know what? No, they kept going. Hebrews 12:1 says it like this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight. Everybody say every weight. Every weight that slows us down. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance. Everybody say endurance. The race that God has set before you. So what are they saying here? They're saying, you know, our life is a race. And let me tell you, my generation, the race or our life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. We live in a microwave generation. We want everything now. We want our promotion now. We want to do this now. But sometimes you got to sit and wait. You need to wait on your time. Wait on your appointed time. What about King David? How long did he serve and wait until it was his appointed time? The key, though, to when you go to many different things in your life, because Jesus even told us, he said, in this life, you will have trouble. Guess what? He's not just talking to non-believers. He's talking to believers as well. Everybody in this place is going to go through something at time. But what is the key? Endurance. Everybody say endurance. The definition of endurance, if y'all ever heard me speak before, y'all know I love to do this, is the fact or power of enduring or sustaining an unpleasant or difficult situation without giving up. Can't stop, won't stop. I learned this term of endurance the hard way. I was blessed to be able to play basketball all the way from about five all the way through high school, and then I got a college scholarship to play here basketball here at Missouri Southern. And so in high school, you know, I went to a very 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 large high school. And there was only about, I think at a time, maybe 12 to 15 people that made the team. And so, you know, my senior year, I'm like, you know what? I made the team. You know, I'm starting. You know, I'm doing all this. And my coaches were not easy on us by any stretch of the imagination. And I was like, you know what? So when I go to college, I'm good. I got this. And some of y'all athletes over there, y'all know what I'm talking about. And y'all like, I'm good. So I get to college, and our coach, he says, all right, I'm going to give y'all the first week to just get to your classes and know your teachers and stuff. And then that following Monday, I want you to meet me in the locker room at 3:15. Yeah, I still remember the time. Because if y'all are not athletes, or even if you are, y'all know that preseason, Lord have mercy. Listen, don't listen to them coaches that win championships. Oh, it was because of the preseason. It's because of what? Nah, man, it is hell. Let me tell you now. Preseason is terrible. And so he told us, meet me in the locker room at 3:15, be dressed, ready to go. Said, all right, coach. That day comes. We're dressed. We're ready to go. He comes in at 3:15. He's like, all right, y'all follow me. I'm like, okay. We follow him. We go upstairs. If y'all have ever been in Legan and Platt, go upstairs. We get by the gym, and I'm like, yeah, man, yeah. Taking it in the scenery. I'm like, this is where it's about to go down. breathing it in, and there's the balls over there. We're probably gonna get some shots up and everything. We stop. We go over to the balls. Coach says, no. Y'all come with me. We like, wait, coach, the gym's over here, brother. Where you going? And he goes, no, follow me. So we're following him. We go out of the building. Then we go across the street. Some of my Missouri Southern athletes know this walk is terrible. It's like the walk of shame. You just like this, like you walking to your death. Walked across the street. And we get by the football field. I'm like, okay. I'm like, in high school, I had to do this. I had to do stadiums up and down the stairs, you know, maybe do a little track work. I can handle this. I got this. I can make it. So we over here at the football field again. Coach is like, hey, no. Y'all come this way. I'm like, where is this brother taking us? And y'all hear Destiny Church heard me before say, I'm black. I don't do the woods. So he takes us to this place, trees everywhere, grass is up to my thigh, can't even see my feet on the ground. I said, what in the world have I gotten myself into? I get there and he goes, gentlemen, welcome to the cross country course. And today, we're going to run 3.5 miles. I said, the devil is a lie. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. I rebuke you. I said all the scriptures, all that stuff. And it didn't even work. It didn't work. Didn't work. So I'm out there. He's like, all right, go. We running. Y'all, Lord have mercy. I just got a flashback. Y'all, I want you to put this in perspective. Grass is up to here. Can't see nothing. There's snakes out there somewhere. It is August, so it's about 182,000 degrees outside. And so I'm running, and have you ever been outside and you've been so hot that you get cold? You get goosebumps? I'm out there, and I'm like freezing. I'm like, what is going on? Why in the world am I out here? And I'm out here, and I'm struggling. I'm dying, and we finally get across the line. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when you get through a hard time, you know how to say thank you, Jesus, real quick. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I get done, and coach, everybody crosses the line. He goes, all right. Good, good, good. I just want to let you know that we're going to do this 3 times a week. I said, excuse me? I'm about to run 3.5 miles 3 times a week. He goes, no, actually, you're not going to, because every time we run, it's going to go up. So the next time we run, it's going to be 4.2 miles. The next time, then it's 5.6. The next, we got all the way up to 8 miles. Basketball players, if you don't know this, we don't do that. Quick movements. Quick movements. You talking about running all day long in the heat when it's 5,682,000 degrees outside? I don't think so. But in that, watch this. I'm out there running. We're dying. I'm telling y'all, this was one of the hardest things physically I've ever gone through in my life. My parents can attest to it. I called them many a time saying, I'm coming home. I'm done. I can't do this. I'm like, because it was wearing on me physically. It was wearing on me emotionally. And I was like, I can't do it. I gotta give up. But the good thing is I didn't give up. I kept going. And what I learned through that was that through that time, I was like, why did we go through all that? Our coach put us through all that training, through all of that hell, through all of that struggle, so that when we got into the game and we got the real thing, when we got into the lateness of the game, we could sustain and have that endurance to say, you know what? Go ahead, put me in the game, coach. I'm ready. And I'm here to tell some of y'all today that you're going through a lot of things for a reason. You're going through a lot of things, a lot of struggles that God is allowing to happen to you right now. Why? Because when you get into the game, when you get into the real situation, you're going to be like, you know what? I made it through that. I came through that. I can sustain. I've got endurance. Somebody say, can't stop, won't stop. Telling you today that I know some of you came in this place really low, struggling. I could feel it in the spirit. I could feel it in the spirit last night. And some of you are ready to give up and throw in the towel. But I'm here, 26-year-old young man, to tell you, don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare throw in the towel. Why? God laid this on me. God laid this on me so profound when I was studying this. And you can take it and believe it if you want. If you don't, that's fine. But he laid this statement on me right here. The reason why you can't quit and give up is because you find your purpose through your endurance. So I thought this was all about basketball. I thought it was all about making the team. I thought it was all about being able to get some playing time as a freshman. I thought it was all about being one of the greats at Missouri Southern. I thought it was all about that. But God said, no. I'm actually preparing you for something different. And it's what I'm doing right now. You don't really know or understand what you are capable of until you're under pressure. You have no idea. Some of us be like, oh yeah, maybe I could do it. I can do that. Or we say, we hear this a lot. I can't do it. I can't handle that. If that happened to me, there's no way. You have no idea until you're actually under the pressure. Some of y'all don't know that, you know, some of the music that we hear today, and Lord, some of the music that we hear today, that's a whole nother topic. But some of the music that we hear today, you have no idea that those music producers only made that music within 2 weeks. Why? Because they got behind or whatever happened, and the organization, the company that writes their check said, you better have that song out in 2 weeks. And guess what they get to do? They go in that studio, they zone out, they focus, they say, this is what needs to happen, this is what needs to get done. Why? Because they have endurance. They know how to block things out. They know how to block the naysayers out. They know how to turn the TV off. They know how to get off Facebook. They know how to get off Instagram. They know how to stop hanging out with those friends that ain't no good for you. They know how to do all of that. But us in the church, we don't. Can I be honest tonight? We don't know how to do that. We don't know how to separate. And that's what I want to give that to us tonight. My pastor said this a few weeks ago. He said, it's so much easier to quit rather than to persevere. And think about it. It's so true. It's so easy for you to see a situation and see your struggle and be like, you know what? I just give up. I'm done with it. I'm out. Rather than fight through it and struggle through it and press through it. And then once you get through it to the other side, you're better because of it. I had no idea that my body could do that. But when I kept going and kept pressing and making it through it, God brought me to a whole different level physically as well as spiritually. Because let me tell y'all, I got real close to Jesus during that time. But watch this. And my pastor also said this a few weeks ago. Hope you don't mind. You said, if I say things 3 times, then I can have it, right? So this is one. He said it's so much easier to quit rather than to persevere. But watch this. Once you quit, then it becomes a habit. Then it's easy for you to be like, nope, I'm done. Then it's easy for you to be like, I'm done with this. So why do y'all think in our generation we have so many job hoppers? We have so many relationship hoppers. We have so many things that we have no stability in our generation because we just so easily quit and give up. We stop. We're like, you know what? I can't handle that. I can't do that. I feel awkward. Got it. They'll gap for 12 people. They're weird. I can't do that. You know, I, you telling me to read my Bible every single day. I just can't find the time. It's weird. It's awkward. So we stop. And then it becomes a habit. And how many of you know that a habit is hard to break? A habit is hard to break, but because of the grace of God, we can still break that habit. Can somebody say amen? So I want to share one story with you tonight. couple of men who didn't quit. And you probably heard this story before, but I want to give it to you in a different way. If you're following me, it's in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. It says here, as Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, a large crowd followed behind. Two blind men were sitting beside the road. When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And watch this. So let me set this up because go back to that last screen real quick, because some of the other versions say that these men, they weren't just sitting there, or they were sitting there, and when Jesus came by, they began to follow him. They began to chase after him. And now let me put something into perspective, because we think that when Jesus had people following him, he had the 12 plus maybe like 12 more. No. At this time, Jesus probably had like 2,000-3,000 people following him as he's walking. And so this puts this story into perspective. They see and they yell, "Lord, Lord, help me, help me." Now, it says it one time in the Bible, but I guarantee if there's 2,000 or 3,000 people in front of them, they didn't just call out to Jesus once. And I think that's what some of us do. We're like, "Jesus, Jesus, help me with this situation." You don't hear anything. So you're like, "Oh, well, I'm done. I'm not going to pray about it anymore. I'll just try to fix it myself." But not these men, not these men. They stayed there and they kept going after him. And they said it like this, going back to that next slide. And then watch this. "Be quiet," the crowd yelled at them. Isn't that just like the world today? Telling us, stop putting so much Jesus on your Facebook. You parents, they're trying to take prayer out of schools. They're telling us to do all this, telling us to be quiet, be quiet. I'm telling y'all now, this man standing right here, I don't care how you persecute me, I will never be quiet for the name of Jesus Christ. And I hope some of y'all feel the same way. I don't care what the world says. I don't care how much they're promoting somebody turning from one gender to the next. I'm going to promote Jesus Christ and tell people about what he's done in my life. So sick of what the world is trying to tell us to do. The church has got to stand up and raise up and be loud and shout it out and say, "No, we serve Jesus Christ." "Be quiet," they yelled at them. But watch this. These guys would have been friends of mine. They just shouted louder. "Jesus! Hey! Lord! Son of David! Have mercy on us." Now watch this. When Jesus heard them, he stopped. Now, whoop! Let me share this real quick, because we got it over there on the wall. We got it on our t-shirts. We're saying, "I can't stop. I can't stop. What are you talking about? Jesus stopped." And I read that too. I was like, "Lord, how are you going to help me make this make sense?" And I heard the Holy Spirit clear as day say this, and I'm going to try not to jump off the stage after I say it. He said that Jesus is the only one that is allowed to stop and turn around and go back to your past to fix that situation. Come on. And so what happened is he stopped and he turned, said, "I hear my child calling. I hear my son calling. I hear them calling." And so he came to him and said, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" They said, "Lord, we want to see. We want to see." Go to that next slide for me. Jesus felt sorry for them, touched their eyes, and instantly, everybody say instantly, instantly they could see. Guess what, y'all? If they would have stopped, if those two men would have let the crowd tell them to stop, if they would have let their feelings, like, you know, because they're blind, y'all, they're blind. If they could have been like, "You know what, well, he walked past, I'm just going to, woe is me, I'm just going to stop, which is what a lot of us do. We're like, well, you know, we just walk around with pity. We throw temper tantrums and we get our feelings hurt all the time and we just stop. If they would have done that, if they would have let the crowd silence them, guess what would have happened? They would have missed their healing. They would have missed their divine appointment with Jesus and they would have missed their testimony. Why is that important? What does the Bible say? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the what? Testimony. Now, because they didn't stop, not only did they have a divine appointment with Jesus Christ, but now they've got a story to tell with everybody else. Pastor Gene again said this the other week. He was just all up in my message. I had to change it all around. He said, one moment with Jesus can change your life. Not two, not three, not a whole bunch of requirements that happens, but one moment can literally shift the whole course of your life. And so if they would have stopped, they would have missed it. Now, this part to me is the most powerful about this story. Keep in mind, y'all, they were blind. They could not see. But guess what happened? They still follow Jesus anyway. I'm here to tell you, and why did they do that? Because they have faith. I'm here to tell some of y'all today, you can't see the answer to your solution. You can't see the answer. You can't see where that money is going to come from. You can't see where that healing is going to come from. You can't see how that relationship is going to be fixed. But I promise, even if you can't see it, if you follow Jesus, he will stop and turn around and come back to your presence. Somebody say, can't stop, won't stop. Faith is what allowed them to follow. And this is another part of my favorite part of this story is they cried out to Jesus. And like I told you, you know, sometimes you got to really, really look and see what's going on in the Bible and things like that, because sometimes you can read one thing and you miss it because you saw that it said they called out to him. But I guarantee that they called out to him probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And here's the thing. Jesus heard them every single time. He hears you every single time you pray. Just because he doesn't answer right away doesn't mean he didn't hear you. And so he heard them. He heard them. He heard them with his ears. But watch what happened. Watch what happened. He heard them with their ears. They were crying out, Jesus, I want you, Jesus. They were doing it out of ritual. They were doing it out of, oh, I'm supposed to go to church. They were doing it, oh, I'm supposed to read my Bible. Oh, I'm supposed to, you know, talk right. But then something happened on the inside of them where it came down from their belly and they thought Jesus was about to leave. And they said, Jesus! And guess what, y'all? It didn't touch his ears. It touched his heart. My God. It didn't touch their ears. It touched his heart. I'm here to tell you today that sometimes when you well up something on the inside of you and you need something from Jesus and you call out for him, he's going to hear it. But once you call out to him with the power that is inside of your spirit and say, Jesus, I need you, you are going to touch his heart. He's going to stop and come back to your situation. Come on, let's do that in this place real quick. We're going to call out to Jesus in this place. 1, 2, 3, Jesus! I feel the presence of God in this place, y'all. They cried out and they touched his heart. I don't know about you, but I don't want to touch Jesus' ears. I want to touch his heart. Because when you touch his heart, then you've got his full attention. Because in prayer, you know, he hears us. He hears everything. Let me tell you that. And let me be clear. He hears everything that you pray. But there's something, and he will answer that prayer as well. But there's something about when you really, really are seeking God, when you're coming after him, he changes and turns around. But some of us, what happens is we're seeking a Sunday morning experience instead of seeking God. We're seeking church. We're seeking Destiny Church. We're seeking Oasis Church. We're seeking Joplin Family Worship Center. Instead, we should be seeking Jesus. So the last three things here. Josh, you can come ahead and come. I'm going to give you three reasons why you can't stop. Three reasons why you can't stop. Number one is because you can't afford to. You can't afford to stop. Listen. Ooh, thank you for bringing that back, Holy Spirit. If I would have stopped, if I would have quit, my story that I was just telling you, if I would have quit, if I would have gave up and went back home, watch what would have happened. I would have lost my scholarship, probably wouldn't have gotten a degree. I probably wouldn't have gotten linked up at this church here. May have not have even married my wife. Gap 412, maybe it wouldn't be where it is. This gathering, not saying that it had to come from us, because by no means it had to come from us, but maybe you wouldn't even be sitting in this place tonight. Can you imagine if I would have quit and given up? Some people that I've been blessed to bring to Christ may have not still been come to Christ. So I can't stop because I can't afford to. And because of that, number two, we can't stop because others can't afford you to. If you stop, they're going to stop. If you stop, somebody else is going to miss it. If you stop, somebody's not going to get healed. If you stop, somebody is not going to come to Christ. So stop being so hear my heart, but we got to stop being so selfish and thinking that everything is about us. This is an I generation. I know it. I'm selfish too. Ask my wife over there. She knows it. But we seek for ourselves when we need to be looking past. You know, we sometimes go through a lot of different things in our life and we're like, man, woe is me. Woe is me. Why did I do this? Why did I have to go through this? Why was I dealt this hand in life? Why did this have to happen to me? Why did I have to lose my job? Why did I have to get a divorce? Why did I have to? Because you have to tell a testimony. You had to share it with somebody else that's going through to help them out. It's not always about you. It's not always about us. We can't stop because others can't afford. I love that story. When we say others can't afford it, I think of the story. My pastor preaches on this often. Can you remember those men who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus? And they came to the house. House was packed. And they were like, oh man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I could just hear one of them raised up and said, I'm not stopping because he's got to be healed. I'm not stopping because he's got to be delivered tonight. And you want to know what they did? Hallelujhah. They didn't try to go through the door. They didn't try to go through the window. They climbed to the roof and said, no matter what the cost is, no matter how high I have to climb, they got to the roof and they tore the roof off. And they brought him down to Jesus. We all need to have those people that will do anything to get you to Jesus. Anything to get you to Jesus. And number three, third reason why we can't stop. Number one, can't afford to. Number two, others can't afford for you to stop. And number three, there is a prize. Now, us as humans, that's how we're wired, right? We work to get a what? A check? Guarantee, if y'all go to work next week and y'all don't get a check, somebody gonna be mad. Because I know if I don't get a check, something is going down. But we do something to get a reward. So God knows that we like that in our human self. So he does that spiritually as well. Philippians 3:13 says it like this. And I don't know if I have that scripture up on the screen. But he says, I run the race I run the race to win the prize. And I'm here to tell y'all what the prize is. The prize is Jesus Christ. I don't think y'all heard me. I'm gonna come down here. I said your prize is Jesus Christ. It's the best prize that you could ever get. It's the best prize that you could ever receive. He loves you more than anybody else. He knows you more than anybody else. He cares for you more than anybody else. I don't care who you sit next to tonight. He loves you more. And so we should be excited that if we don't stop, if we don't make this a sprint, if we run out this marathon, that we get a prize, and that prize is to be with our heavenly Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. And the last thing I'm going to say before we sing one more song of worship, I look back over this and I was like, my goodness. Can you bring those three things back up? These three things applies to Jesus himself. Let me show you. Go ahead, bring all three of them back up. Jesus couldn't stop because he couldn't afford to. What do you mean by that? Jesus was fully man, but he was also fully God. And God said that there would be a Savior to come and to die. So if Jesus would have stopped, he would have went back on his word. And God is not a man that he should lie. And number two, he couldn't afford to stop. This is the obvious reason. Because if he stopped, we may be here right now, but I'm telling you, this world will be even more crazy than what it is. So he couldn't stop because he said, you know what? I can't do it, because if I don't, this world is going to go to shambles. And so I take it. I take the abuse. And number three, he didn't stop because there was a prize for him. Whoo, I feel the presence of God in this place, y'all. And you want to know what that prize is? Are you ready? It's you. His prize is you. So he couldn't stop. He took the abuse in his side. He took the abuse. They let him nail his hands to the side. They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet, and he screamed out in pain and agony. He said, oh my God, this is so much pain. I never imagined that this would be like this. I never imagined that this would hurt so bad. But guess what? I can't stop because I love the people of God. So I will take the abuse and I will die for everybody's pain, everybody's shame, everybody's guilt. And I won't stop because I love you. Stop because of us, y'all. He didn't stop because of me. He said, I knew TJ needed me. I knew TJ needed a Savior. So he didn't stop. He didn't stop. And the best part about that is the thing that's supposed to stop every human being is death. Day one went by. Death thought it won. Day two went by. Hell was rejoicing. They said, it's over. It's done. Those people in Joplin, they're going to suffer for the rest of their life. Those people that come to the gathering 2015, because they can see that too. They're like, those people are going to be in trouble. We got them. But guess what happened? On the third day, there began to be a rumble. There began to be a sound that happened. And that began to shake and shift in the atmosphere. On your behalf. That is Jesus Christ. He is the Don't you dare stop. Listen to me. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare quit. We can't stop because he didn't stop. And because he didn't stop, we can't stop. There's some people in this place tonight. I'm not going to even have you bow your heads, close your eyes, because something's about to shift in here. Come on, Mike. If you came in this place tonight and you're like, man, yep, that's me. I was just about to give up. Last week, I was about to quit. Today, even, I was about to quit. There's so many things that are being thrown at me in my life, and I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to see the other side. I don't know how to make it. If that is you, and I'm not going to hesitate, even if it's one person, if that's you and you're saying, you know what, I need the Spirit of God to help me because I don't want to stop, I want you to meet me down here right now. Come on. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Come on. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. Woo, I feel the presence of God. Now, when you come down here, lift your hands up and begin to worship the King. Forget who's standing next to you. Forget what's going on. Think about that situation that's trying to make you quit and give up and stop. And begin to talk to that thing and say, in the name of Jesus, you will not stop me. I can't stop. I won't stop. I can't stop. I won't stop. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for each and every heart. Each and every person that is down here right now. That is crying out for you. That is saying, Lord, I need more of you. I want more of you. I need you to help me with this situation. I need you to help me with this financial burden that I just can't seem to get past. I need you to help me fix that relationship. I need you to help me heal my heart. I need you to help me get to the next level in my life. I feel like I'm stuck in a rut. I hear the Spirit of God saying that there's many people in here right now that you feel like you are stuck in a rut. But right now, in the name of Jesus, through the Spirit of God, we pull you out of that rut and we say, Spirit man, come alive in the name of Jesus. I speak to every dead thing. I speak to every broken thing. I speak to every curse, every hurt, every pain. And I say, be broken in the name of Jesus. Now just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it for about 20 seconds. Just receive it. Just receive it. Come on, just receive it. on, he's here. Come on, he's here. Don't miss it. Don't you dare miss it. Don't you dare miss it. You can't stop, y'all. Get past your feelings. Get past your hurt. Get past your pain. Get past that situation and say, God, I need you. And when he hears your heart, he's going to stop and come running to you. 10 more seconds. 10 more seconds. Come on, receive it. Now we're going to sing this song that says, fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Come on, first verse, what do you see?
You provide fire, and I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit.
Everybody in this place, lift up your hands. Because he's here. Even if you're not here at the altar, he's still here for you too. And so I'm going to give you about 20 more seconds. Somebody's being healed right now. Right now, I just heard the Holy Spirit say somebody's being healed. Somebody came in with a really, really, really bad physical situation. And right now, he's healing you. He wants, and there's somebody else that he wants to heal, but he needs you to receive it. So if that's you, I would lift up your hands right now and say, God, give it to me. Give it to me. Come on, he's healing. He's healing. The spirit of healing is in this place now. Nobody has to touch you. Nobody has to pray for you. As long as the spirit of God is here, he will touch you. I want to move on, but I can't miss this moment. We can't miss this moment. You've been asking. You've been asking for more. You've been asking for more. And not because I know you. The Spirit just showed me you in your room. Just saying, God, there's got to be more. I got to have more. And that word that Pastor Mike spoke last night, God is saying, because of your obedience, because of your sacrifice, because of your willingness, he is now getting ready to pour out to you more than you can even handle. Somebody should rejoice and praise God for that. And he's telling me it's not just music. Not just your music, although it's going to go somewhere, man. You know it. I've talked to you about that. But God is about to release a word in you, man. A word, not just for your church, not just for this city, but when you begin to travel, God is about to put a word down in your heart that you're going to begin to share. And every time you look up, you're going to see the altars filled just like this because of your obedience. Father God, in the name of Jesus, everybody just stretch your hands this way. We thank you so much for this yielded vessel, for this surrendered vessel. Now, Lord, the thing that he's been asking for, God, of more of you, God, whether it be in his worship, whether it be in his songs, whether it be at his church, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you pour it out to him, God, like never before, God. Unlock, take the scales off of his eyes, God, and unlock the word like never before, God. Let it come alive in his life, Lord, and that when he needs it, Lord, it's going to be his tool. It's going to be his weapon, Lord, that he is just going to begin to attack the enemy and attack and protect his home and protect his future and his future seed just by proclaiming the word of God over his life. In the name of Jesus, somebody give God a shout of praise. In this place. How many of y'all feel the presence of God in this place tonight? So I want to remind you two things. Pastor Mike said that sometimes we will go through things that are awkward, that are uncomfortable. And let me tell y'all, especially everybody down here, because you stepped out and had faith and came down here, it's going to hit you first. But what are you going to do about it? You can't stop and you won't stop. Everybody say, I can't stop, I won't stop. Come on, proclaim it over your life. Say, I can't stop, I won't stop. Father, we thank you for these words that have come forth, God, through Pastor Mike and myself. And we pray, Lord, that we don't just leave out of here motivated. We don't just leave out of here saying, man, the gathering was good. But Lord, we leave this place changed forever. We learn, Lord, that one moment can change our lives. And I pray that for somebody in this place, this was their one moment, and they cried out to you, and they stepped out, and because of that, you didn't hear them with your ears, you heard them with your heart, and now you're coming back. You stopped, and you put everything else on hold, just like Jairus. Lord, you stopped for that woman with the issue of blood that said, no, I need your touch right now. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name. Now, one more time on the count of three. After you do something like this, after God speaks in your life like this, you have no choice but to praise him. So on the count of three, we're about to go home in 5 minutes. On the count of three, I want everybody to raise up your voice as loud as you can with a shout of praise, with a can't stop praise. Does anybody have a can't stop praise inside of you right now? So on the count of three, I want everybody to link up your faith with the person standing next to you. And we are going to release a shout of praise in this place. Are y'all ready? One. Come on, let's build it up. Two. Are you ready? Here we go. One. One more time, give God a shout of praise tonight. Well, has anybody enjoyed themselves in this place tonight? We thank y'all so much for coming. It really means a lot. But like I said earlier, don't leave this place and just say, man, the gathering was great. I want you to say, I'm leaving changed, new, set free, and delivered. Now, here at Destiny Church in Gap 412, we rarely go home without stop giving God some praise. So is anybody ready to dance in this place tonight? No, that was weak. We got 5 more minutes. Does anybody want to dance in this place? Put those hands together. Come on, come on. Here we go. 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
I'm alive, cause Jesus gave me life.
He opened up.
He opened up my eyes.
Come on, say.
And I can see clearly now. I can see clearly now.
Come on, everybody say.
Oh, everybody dance.
Everybody.
Oh, here
we go. 1, 2, 3, let's go.
Everybody, give it up for Jesus. Give it up for me.
Everybody,
give it up for Jesus. Praise Him.
Let's clap those hands. Let's go. Hey, let's go. Is anybody feeling alive today? Here we go. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Say, my desire.
Come on.
Is to let you higher.
It's only burning.
It's only burning higher.
Come on, say.
His passion is higher.
Come on, everybody lift it up. Hey, everybody hey, say.
Oh, everybody dance now. Oh.
1, 2, 3, let's go.
Hey, everybody, give it up for Jesus. Give it up for me,
I
can keep.
Everybody.
Everybody, give it up for Jesus.
Praise Him. Come on, one more time, everybody say.
Everybody.
It says this praise is bursting out. Does anybody have a praise left in them tonight? Come on, everybody say.
This praise is bursting out.
Hey.
I can't contain it now.
This
praise is bursting out. Out, out.
Come on, let me hear y'all sing it. Come on, say.
This praise is bursting out.
Let's go.
I can't contain it now.
Come on.
This praise is bursting out. Out,
y'all ready to
out.
Do it up a little bit? Come on, everybody. This praise
is bursting out.
I can't contain it now.
I can't stop.
I won't
this
stop. Is anybody ready?
One, two, three.
Stop.
Thank you.
God bless y'all. Thank y'all for coming. Y'all have a good night.